A little while and ye shall not see me, and yet a little while and ye shall see me, because I go unto the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and yet a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go unto the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now when Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, he said unto them, Ye inquire among yourselves, so that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And whatsoever ye and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 33, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let's have a word of prayer, and you may be seated after the prayer. Father, I pray today as we look at how to have a sound mind, how to fix mental problems, how to have a mind that's at peace. I pray the Spirit of God would give us that peace. I pray the Spirit of God would give us great power and blessing. I pray that He would speak to our minds and our hearts, and I pray You'd flow through me. You'd cleanse me, Lord, and give me every word to say. And Lord, many, many people can have their lives transformed with the truth today, can have peace in their soul, can know joy and know happiness, and know what it's like to be peaceful through storms. I pray today that we would have that Your Spirit would transfer the truth in a supernatural way, and we would have a transformed life from today's service. Please, Father, speak through me. I know without You, I can do nothing. Please speak to us. May Your power and blessing and flow through me, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're dealing, this last message, with depression and negative emotions. Dealing with depression and negative emotions. Interesting, it says in this verse, in verse 22 of this chapter, look at verse 20. Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be sorrow shall be turned into joy. Verse 22, And ye now therefore have sorrow. Ye have sorrow. Go back to John 14, just a couple chapters there in verse 1. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's parts of us we've explained many times, our soul, our mind, our body, our hearts, and our spirits, different parts, and we're not preaching all those parts today. I'm going to talk about a few things about dealing with depression and negative emotions. Let me just give you a few statements to just build a foundation, then we'll explain some things to you and show you the Bible about them. Number one, you can't stop depression and negative emotions from coming to you. You can't stop depression and negative emotions from coming to you. You know, every major Bible character basically dealt with depression. You can read about Elijah. You can read about Elisha. You can read about Moses. You can read about Jesus. Or we'll read a little later how Jesus suffered from great sorrow in his soul. Everybody did. It's natural. David, read the Psalms. Go start reading in the Psalms. Read Psalm 60, somewhere in there. Read. You'll see David had severe depression. We'll read a little later how David was about to give up hope. He couldn't make it any farther. We'll read that later. Depression and negative emotions come to you. Now, here's what you got to catch. One of the things you got to catch. The world is programmed in our minds that if you feel bad, you are doing bad. And if you have negative emotions or if you're depressed, you're doing things are bad. I want to totally change that way of thinking. How you feel is very minimal. Now, I know it's hard to, that saying, what do you mean how I feel? You don't know, when I feel bad, I'm terrible, I'm depressed, I'm miserable. When I don't feel good, when I feel depressed or I feel this, what I want you to do is I want you to get away from that. I want what you feel like to matter very little, because you cannot stop negative emotions from coming to you. They are absolutely unpredictable. I can make myself miserable tomorrow by what I do today. Easily. All I have to do is go to bed early tonight and wake up late. I can live with undersleep. If I oversleep, I'm a bear. You don't want to be anywhere near me when I oversleep. My emotions go crazy. I'm a grump. I'm terrible. If most people, if they get their diet changed, they become grumpy. If I went over there and I drink 10 cups of coffee with 2 scoops of sugar in each cup, you wouldn't want to talk to me anymore, because I would be a grump. Your diet changed your emotions. Your emotions of humans are very, very flighty things that change drastically according to anything. According to your sleep, according to how it's doing. You could be doing fantastic right now, and you get in your car and you turn the key and it goes, and your emotions go, you can go open your mail, and you're feeling great, it's the greatest day, and your emotions are high, and all of a sudden you get a bank statement that isn't so good. Or you get this little thing that says, you're overdrawn. You say, I have? Oh no, there's 13 checks that come in since then. Oh no, I'm dead. And your emotions go kaboom. I mean, emotions are flighty, unpredictable things that you, when you realize, bad emotions are going to come. You're going to get depressed. You're going to read a newspaper story and get depressed because something bad happened to a child. I mean, negative emotions and depressions are going to come. I'm not saying today don't ever have negative emotions or depression, because you will not succeed in that. Things will come to your mind. Things will happen. Feelings will happen. Someone will frustrate you. Someone will get you mad. So let me say, number one, you can't stop depression and negative emotions from coming to you. Number two, it isn't a sin to have bad feelings. It isn't a sin. If you think that when you're depressed, you just sin because you got depressed, that's not necessarily the case. It may be the case, but Jesus was depressed. We'll read that a little later. But he didn't sin. He never sinned. Having depression and negative emotions is not a sin. They may lead you to sin. For example, let me show you this. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Somebody goes and cuts you off on the highway, you're going to be angry. If you ram them, it's a sin. If you cuss them out, it's a sin. But the emotion is going to come to you. You can't stop emotions. You see somebody do something that makes you mad. I was mad 100 times during that go-kart race in California. Oh, I'm mad at people. Get out of the way. But it didn't mean I sinned. Do that later. When I ran into people. But you know, what you feel is not necessarily sin. What you do with what you feel is different. Your husband or your child makes you mad, and you say, I'm going to take that kid. I'm going to spank him with a flaming bullwhip. I'm so mad at him right now. You feel that, but then you don't do it. You feel, I'm going to kill my boss. I'm going to slice his tires. I hate him. It happens. He comes and yells at you. Of course you're going to feel, but you don't do it. Emotions come. You can't stop them, but it's not a sin to feel depressed. It's not a sin. Don't think, oh, I'm depressed. Now I'm sinned because I got depressed. That's not necessarily true. It's what you do with your feelings, because feelings come and go and change and up and down all the time. But what you feel isn't necessarily a sin. Number three, the key is to marginalize your emotions and live better with the tools God gives you. The key is to marginalize your emotions. Your emotions will, if you do what we teach you today and what's right and what God teaches you, your emotions will not determine what you do or how you are doing. Your emotions will be marginalized. They won't matter that much if you do what God teaches you. The key is to use the tools God gives you to marginalize and make it so your emotions aren't very important. Let me show you Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And I'll read you some verses there. You're going to watch a guy get really, really depressed and then get fixed. All in the same chapter. Psalm 73. Watch how depressed this guy gets. This guy believes, right? He's a guy who loves God. Look at the first verse. Surely God is good to Israel, even to them that are of a clean heart. So he's a good guy. He believes right about God. But verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For no, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He's going to get really depressed because he's been living for God. And bad things have happened to him, and he looks at the wicked, and it seems like on the outside they're having fun. And he gets really depressed, and this thing takes him to the depths of despair, where he says, my feet were nigh well gone. I was about done. I got so depressed because I saw wicked men doing fine. I saw wicked men having fun. And they'll have fun for a while. And he saw this. He got very depressed. Let me just show you some verses where he gets depressed. Verse 12. He says, Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I have washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I got so depressed it was too painful to handle. I don't know how depressed you've ever been. Or sometimes you think this is the worst day of your life until another day comes up a little while later, and you say, this is worse. Sometimes, I know when I'm really, really, really depressed, when I lose my appetite. Now, that doesn't happen very often. I get a good healthy appetite, but when I get really, really depressed and I know I'm in trouble, I'm not hungry anymore. Man, am I ever in trouble. Oh, then it's the end of the world. I said, food doesn't even sound good. What does the world come to? Man, I can't handle this. He says, I was weary to death. He said, it was too painful for me. I couldn't handle it. Because I did all these good things, and it was all in vain. It was useless. Why did I do this? They're doing good. I'm doing terrible. I'm having a terrible time. I'm serving God. The wicked people are having a great time. They're partying to this and that. I washed my hands in vain. He says, I was deeply depressed. Now watch, you're going to get it fixed. He says, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Two things. Went to church. That's the Old Testament church. You, when you're depressed, the devil's going to tell you, I have someone right now who comes to our church. Most of you know who it would be. That person is having a depression pop right now and quit coming to church. They said, I'm just too depressed. I can't come. The worst thing you can do. Like saying, I got cancer, so I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm just too sick to go to the hospital. It is the worst thing you can do. And I've warned about that, and still the devil lies to them. And it happens. Listen, when you need answers and you're confused or you're depressed, this is where you need to be, in church. You need to be in church. It'll fix your problems. It did two things for him. One, it fixes mine, and two, it helped him understand the whole picture, because he didn't understand it before. Then understood I therein, he says in verse 17. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou cast them down in destruction. Now watch him come out. He just went way down here, and all of a sudden he went to church, and started looking the right perspective, and watch him just start going up. He's ready to shout by the end of this thing. How are they brought to desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. In other words, they're going to die someday. As a dream, and when awakest, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my veins, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee, nevertheless. I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward receive me up to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that has desire but thee. He goes on. He gets excited. He says, they're going to die someday, and I'm going to die someday, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to receive up to glory. He gets excited. See, his emotions are naturally going to see things and get down. But he used some perspective, and that perspective brought him back up and fixed it. But maybe his emotions are still down, but he got the perspective. He realized, hey, people died. Let me just give you something. I'll show you some verses that explains how good this does for you and what it'll do for you. Let me just say this. Number one, the eternal perspective brings hope. The eternal perspective brings hope. He got an eternal perspective, and it brought hope for him and fixed his problem. Let me explain this to you. Emotions are so unpredictable. This is going to sound strange for a sec. I'll explain it. You can walk up to me when I'm doing right, and I'm not always, but when I'm where I ought to be and where I'm spiritually, or walk up to anybody who knows what the Bible teaches about your emotions and your mind and joy and peace, and you can ask this question. How is it going? Terrible. How do you feel? Terrible. How are you doing? Great. All those things can be true. You can ask me in a row sometimes, but I'm right with God. How's it going? Terrible. You know, we lie sometimes. You're having a terrible day, everything's going wrong, you hate everybody, you hate the life, everything's terrible and wrong, so you walk up and you're like, you're miserable, you're griping all day. So he walks up, how you doing? Great, fine. No, you aren't, you're lying. So you walk up. How you doing? Terrible. How you feeling? Miserable. How are you? I'm great. That can all be true. When you know what to do right, when you know how to handle everything right. Because your emotions and how you're doing is not going to determine whether you have joy and peace and whether you're doing good. You can be doing good when you're in the most miserable day of your life. Because you have, your life is not based on how it's going. How's it going? Terrible. How do you feel? Terrible. How are you doing? Great. Number one, the eternal perspective brings hope. We just saw that in Psalm 73. I'm going to quote a lot of verses because of time, because I got a lot of to preach here today. Let me say, it says in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus commands you, don't let your heart, your very inside, be troubled. Why? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus walked up and said, hey, guys, I know I'm leaving. Don't be troubled. Why not be troubled? He says, why? Because I'm going to heaven. And I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you there. He says, because of that, don't let your heart be troubled. In the same speech, later we're going to read, he's going to say, you're going to be very sorrowful. But you're going to have great joy at the same time. He said, what are you talking about? Jesus says, you are going to have hard times. He's, in John 14, 15, 16, he's warning them, you're going to have a terrible time. They're going to kill you. They're going to hate you. People are going to speak evil of you. But it's going to be fine. Be happy. Have joy. Let not your heart be troubled because I'm giving you heaven. Folks, when you get the eternal perspective on life, all of a sudden, life does not affect you nearly as much. A bad day is a bad day, but it doesn't last too long. I guarantee your bad day will not last more than 24 hours. I guarantee it. And you get a whole new one to start over with. Listen, folks, and if you have a bad life, you die and go to heaven. When you get the eternal perspective, it takes it away. Jesus, the disciples came to him, and they were doing great, and they were full of bubbling joy. They came and they said, look, Jesus, we just went out and we went all over the world and traveled and preached, and it says even the demons were subject unto us, and everyone got saved and healed. And in Luke 10, 20, Jesus just deflates them. Not totally, but he calms them down. He says, wait, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He says, you're all way up here. He said, but I wouldn't put your joy in having the power to cast out demons. He said, you better put your joy in your names written in heaven, because someday you're not going to cast out demons. Someday you're going to be in jail and they're going to kill you, and you won't be able to do any kind of miracle like that, and you'll be down here. You keep that thing of eternal perspective. He says, whether it's a good day or a bad day, you just go ahead and get the eternal perspective and base it on how eternity is doing, not how things are going, good or bad. I try to get too up in my emotions sometimes, or too down. Because I try not to base how I'm doing on how it's going. Please get that. Don't base how you're doing on how it's going. Base how you're doing on your eternal position with God. And it won't be going so up or down. Think about this. No matter how bad it gets, I get to go to heaven. If you're saved, you've got the worst day of your life. You go out, you do everything wrong. You fail, you do wrong, you do everything wrong, you mess up, you failed at work, you failed at whatever. You go out, you mess up, and you crash your car, and you die, and you wake up on the streets of gold. When you realize that, the worst thing that can happen is you get to go to heaven. You don't get so down. John R. Rice, a guy went to him in an elevator one time. Dr. Rice and Brother House were standing in the elevator. And he walked up, and a guy with a gun walked up, got the elevator, pulling the gun in his stomach. He says, give me your money, I'm going to blow your brains out. Of course, his brains aren't in his stomach, but he said, Dr. Rice says, son, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. The eternal perspective changes everything. Things aren't that bad. Hey, your stock, your 401k is literally $401. Everything's going, I mean, your finances are back. Your health is so great. Hey, someday you'll have gold streets to walk on. Your health will never fail again. Praise God. Get the eternal perspective. A lot of people have mental problems because they are basing their life and how they everything on their feelings and how they feel that day. And boy, if you base it on your feelings, you'll go like this. And you'll be miserable, and you'll have an ulcer. And you'll be miserable and everything else, because things change. You have good days at work, you have bad days at work. You have good days, the news is great one day and terrible the next. Your politics are going great one day, they're going terrible the next. You have lots of money one day, and you're broke the next. Life goes like this. You eat good one day, the next day at midnight, you get an urge, and you call Domino's and get a double pepperoni pizza, and you wake up in the middle of the night feeling like the world ended. Yeah. Your emotions are way down here, and you're like, Lord, I just want to go to glory. Yo, listen, your emotions do this and that. Do not base hardly anything on your emotions. They're too flaky. They're not reliable. People with emotional problems, their problems are because they base too much on their emotions. It's too important to them. God gives us these tools. He gives us the eternal perspective. He gives us solidity. What else does God give us to get us the right perspective and to give us peace and strength and to help us not to be so up and down and to have a sound mind? He gives us peace. Philippians 4. This is one of the key verses we've talked about in our minds the whole time. A promise of God to have a sound mind. The Word of God. You can have a sound mind. You can have a mind that's fixed. A mind that's not miserable. A mind that's not worried. A mind that's not depressed. All the time. You can fix these things. Philippians 4 says how? Verse 6, these key verses for the mental health, you got to memorize them. It says, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It says right there, peace. God gives you peace. This thing, peace, keeps your mind intact. It says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. To do that, you pray about everything and you give thanks. We talked about that the first week. You pray about everything, give God your burdens, and give thanks. Keep reading. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So you get your thought life fixed. You think on positive and right and just and honest things. And you get that right. And God says, the God of peace will be with you. Listen, folks. There is this thing that fixes your mind. It's called peace. It is unexplainable. If you ask me to define what it is, I can't. It says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I can't explain it. All I know is it is not how your mind will be. It's not based on your circumstances. There are loony people who grew up in a perfect home with money, with all the things, and there's very solid people with good minds and great successful people who grew up in very, very, very bad circumstances. It has much less to do with what happens to you than what you do with it, what happens to you, and how you handle it. God says, I've got something to give you that'll fix your mind and give your mind peace, and it's called peace. It is just something that flows on to you when you give God your burdens and you're thankful and you get near to God, a peace comes on you. You don't know why you have peace. I've been in circumstances so many times where I have had disasters coming. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the solution. I am in a mess. There's no solution. I live like that, I think. I have that a whole time. I don't know what the solution is. What am I going to do about tomorrow? And yet, there is no worry there because God gave me that peace. Folks, I can't worry. I think I got an ulcer somewhere in my stomach. Whenever I start worrying, my stomach starts hurting really bad. I don't worry. It's not worth it. Worry does nothing to make you sick and miserable, and it doesn't do any good. It doesn't fix my problems. You don't get more money in your bank if you're worried about your account. It doesn't do anything. You go to God, you give God your burdens, and God gives you that peace. And it fixes your mind. And no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter how miserable life gets, you've got something just there that just says it's okay. Remember Jesus in the storm? He walks up, and if you read the story, he came to him a couple times in the storm. And he just walked up in the boat and said, or woke up in one side of the boat and said, be of good cheer, it is I, don't worry. The storm hadn't quit blowing. And he said, be peaceful. See, the storm in life, and that's why I say, don't sit there and think that when you start serving God, those storms come. No, they still come. Don't think when you start serving God, you'll never be depressed again. The depression will come, but you've got this thing right here called peace in God and hope and life, emotions, and circumstances go like this, but this hasn't changed. And as long as you're basing how you are on this stuff, the eternal stuff, everything goes like this. But this hasn't changed. What you can do is you can not base it on this, and you can be going like this right here. You go like this all the time, up and down. You're a boat. You ever seen how you got a little tiny boat? And it goes in the water, and it splashes and dunks and tips and does this, and every way affects it. And you get a gigantic aircraft carrier, and the waves don't affect it. That's how the eternal things work when you base how you're doing on that. The storms come, but the boat doesn't go tip-top, tip-top. Because they will come, but you put your joy in that eternal thing. Worry never brings peace. Only God can bring peace. And it passes understanding. It doesn't make sense, but God just gives it to you. Let me say also, God gives us joy. Joy. Back to where we started in John chapter 15, God gives us joy. I'm going to explain these couple points. I'm going to illustrate it to you, and we'll be done. Of course, it's going to take half hour, but no, it won't take a half hour. John 15, God gives us joy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's a lot of verses on joy. We're not going to read them all. Let's go forward to chapter 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but notice that they have sorrow. He didn't say you're not going to have a sorrowful time. He said you're going to have sorrow. You're going to. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Isn't that great? Remember how solid that thing is? You know, people can take your happiness from you. Happiness is not joy. They're massively different. Happiness is based on happiness. Happiness. What happens in your life. Up and down, up and down. You go out and you walk in my car today and slash my tires. You walk up and kick me and spit on me and tell me you hate my guts. You know what? You may take my happiness from me. You won't take my joy from me. Because the joy is not based on how I'm doing. The joy is based on eternal things. And Jesus says, your joy, no man take it from you. Joy is not a thing like this. That's emotions. Joy is based on eternity, and it's on heaven, and it's on the things God gives you, and God gives you joy, it doesn't change. No man taketh it from you. In that day, verse 23 of John 16, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked me nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Okay, here we go. In this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trials. You're going to have a trial, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. We have three things here God gives us. He gives us hope. That's the first one. We talk about God gives us that eternal perspective, which brings hope. He gives us joy, and he gives us peace. These three things, if you base how you're doing on those three things, then emotions will not affect you much anymore. How you're feeling will not affect you. You'll be feeling that, but you don't notice it. Have you ever had a pain so long you don't even notice it until somebody asks you about it? I've got a constant pain in my leg over here. I never think about it. I have to do certain things. I have to stand a certain way all the time and stuff. But I get injured this leg. You know what? I don't think about it. Now, if you walk up and say, doesn't your leg hurt right now? I'll say, yeah, it sure does. Oh, man. Because you start focusing on that pain. That's what you do with emotions and feelings. You put how you're doing on joy, peace, and hope. And all these things, are just all your feelings put in the background. It's no big deal. I feel terrible today. I ain't sleep enough. I'm tired. The finances I'm worried about, I'm doing great because I'm going to heaven when I die. That's where you live. And how you're doing, how your emotions, and how you feel. We are in the most touchy-feely world. Everything's about how you feel. I just feel this is right. That means right.
I just feel like this will be okay for me to do.
That means it's okay for you to do.
I just feel wonderful, so everything's going good. Or somebody else, everything's fine in their life, but they're depressed because they feel like nobody loves them. They feel that, and they're ready to commit suicide. Feel. That's why most people you see are miserable. A lot of people are upset all the time and unstable and don't love life. You know why? Because everything's based on how they feel, and how you feel goes like this. And circumstances change all the time. But if you got that rock, it never changes. I preach a message like this, and I explain it like this. It's rock, paper, scissors. And it's like that with joy, peace, hope, and emotions. All three of those things trump your emotions. Let me illustrate it this way to you. By the way, joy is not an emotion. It's a fruit from God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's a fruit. It's not an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Depression is an emotion. Joy is a state of being and a fruit that God gives you. It's something that's unexplainable like peace, but it fixes everything there. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say you went out and did wrong. You went out and you bought a lottery ticket. Amen? And you're all too quiet on that. I got a little nervous here. Okay. You went and bought a lottery ticket. And you won $200 million. And after taxes, you got $100 million. $100 million. You call your boss. Hey, boss. I have good character, so I'm going to give you 2 weeks' notice, but I'm done in 2 weeks. You got to do that. Give your boss 2 weeks' notice. Good character. We work 9 days in a row. Here you work your every weekend off because you don't work on Sundays. You come to church every Sunday. Amen. And I got more subliminal messages in one message than any preacher in the world. My Freudian subliminal messages here. It's actually weird New Age music playing. You're all saying, give, go to church, love my pastor. You just don't know it. You go to work and you go, and all of a sudden it's that last Friday. You got $100 million waiting in the bank, your plane ticket to the Bahamas. You've got your new mansion bought with 100 acres in the middle of nowhere, whatever you buy. You're all smiling. You all think about this. You've already thought about this, haven't you? You've already got a plan. It's your last day at work. Punch in 8 o'clock, and you're at work. You know it's your last day. You've had a terrible day at work. Are you going to have a bad day? No. What if it's the worst day of work you ever had? I mean, your boss just says, I'm getting one last party shot. And he just walks behind you all day. I hate your guts. You're the most miserable employee. You're terrible. You don't do your job right. They walk behind you. You're a waitress. You trip and fall and splatter the food all over. You burn a customer. You're a bus driver and you crash. You're a delivery driver. You run into the building you're delivering at. I mean, you do everything wrong. It's just the worst day you could possibly have. How you doing? You're doing fine, aren't you? It ain't all that bad. Your boss is yelling at you and you're just smiling. Keep yelling. You got 4 more hours of yelling, pal. I'm going to buy this building to fire you. You got 4 more hours. Keep yelling. Why are you doing good when you're having such a terrible time? Why is it the worst day of work and you're just going to grin in your face? Why? Because you got something a lot better to look forward to. And because this day ain't going to last forever. And tomorrow I'm going to be laying on the beach in the Bahamas. I'm going to be fine. And I'm going to be on my in my mansion. You know that's exactly how you can be all the time. It doesn't matter how bad your day's going, you've got a mansion in heaven. You got streets of gold, you're going to be forever where you'll never feel another pain. So a bad day comes along and everything goes wrong. And your boss hates you and you're doing terrible, your car's falling apart, and everything's going wrong. Don't matter, devil. I'm doing fine. A little while I'm going to be in heaven. I'll have a car that never breaks down and everything's tuned up. I'll drive on streets of gold. That's not really the Bible, just so you know. I'll be doing perfect. I mean, wonderful. It's not that big a deal. Your emotions feel a little bad. Your boss is yelling at you, probably, but it ain't that bad. When you get it based on how you're doing, it's based on eternal things. And on God loving you, and you got your sins forgiven, and you're going to be in heaven someday. All of a sudden, oh, brother. You have to feel that. Sure you're going to. What do you think? My car ruined. I say, oh, praise the Lord, my car didn't start. No? Not like that. Try to cuss. praise God at oath. I try to get mad, but you know what? It's not the end of the world because I'm not basing how I'm doing and how my car is working. Hallelujah, because I'd be miserable. My car doesn't always run good. But you base how you're doing on eternal things. And God gives you hope in heaven. He gives you joy, and He gives you peace. And your emotions become just a marginalized thing and don't really matter very much. And all of a sudden, you've got a stable mind. No matter how bad it gets, God still loves you. No matter how bad it gets, you've still got a home in heaven. No matter how bad it gets, you're going to leave this old world and be in perfection, never feel another pain, never cry another tear. Boy, you got something stable there to base your joy on. Not emotions, but the fruit that God gives you, and hope and peace and joy. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, as we talked about that story about going to work on your last day of work, Lord, that's the way this life is. It's better than that. We've got better than $100 million. We've got heaven. We've got a God who loves us. But Father, too many of us base too much on our emotions and how we feel and how the day's going and what people think of us and how our finances are and where we are in life instead of thinking about where we're going for eternity. Lord, we won't be here but another 50 years the most. Some people maybe a little bit more who are younger, Lord. Some people 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But Lord, then we begin perfection with joy unspeakable for billions and billions of years. Father, we don't have any people with long faces and people with unstable minds and people who sit there and worry. The worst thing that can happen is we die and go to heaven. I pray, Father, we would have our minds fixed and use these great tools you've given us. Depression is not that big a deal, Father. It's hard to be depressed when you got heaven at your home. It's hard to be depressed when you got that $100 million in the bank. It's hard to be depressed when you've got a God who loves you and is inside of you and is near you. Father, help us to base how we're doing, not on how it's going or how we feel, but on how we're doing, which is eternal. And we're doing good as long as we've got you as our Savior. Please help us, Father.